we the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They're cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting a chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, let's go. I'm not going to let you tell me what does and doesn't concern me.
You can say whatever concerns you.
And it does.
I can just tell you that what I'm hearing you say is, for me, a little bit excuse-laden, and you can make those excuses, and
That's not even what I'm talking about.
Oh, you can feel how you feel.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about that.
That's where the conversation evolved. I'm talking about where it started. I'm talking about whether we, as a collective 49er assessment society, feel like Brock Purdy shrinks in big moments. Do you feel that way?
No.
Okay.
I don't think he shrinks in big moments. I think when he... And when they, and I think that this conversation needs to be more they than he,
okay,
because we all get fixated on the quarterback, and yes, he was bad on Sunday. He was bad, and they, in general, on offense, were bad. George Kittle was great. George Kittle's usually great, but if you want to find anybody else who was also quote-unquote great, Trent Williams is good. He wasn't great, and end of list. So... I don't think that
anyone... I like Kittle.
That's what I said. Kittle.
Oh, sorry.
No,
I missed
Kittle
that.
Was
I
the headline.
Was Trent. Okay.
No,
yeah.
Kittle was great. Trent was good.
And you're talking about offense.
Correct.
Okay.
And the other nine of them, they all were either eh or bad. So I don't think that, for me, it's about him against like the other elite quarterbacks. It's him and them. And I want to really portray this as them. It's them against good defenses. And by them, I mean Baltimore last Christmas, who really did a lot that they hadn't seen, confused them. Kansas City twice, a lot of man and a lot of pressure, and that was uncomfortable. Minnesota twice, a really good defense for the last 2 years, confused them. Cleveland last year, a little bit of a different game because of the weather and the mixed bag, and you still would have won if Moody makes the kick. I get that. But I'm looking at them, the offense, against really good defenses, and I'm not seeing a lot of wins.
Okay. Like, it's funny, too, because it's a moving target. We each get to decide what are the big moments. You know what I mean? Like, the Christmas evening game last year was a quote-unquote big moment, because we decided it was, because it had like a movie trailer vibe to it. MVP versus MVP. Christmas night. Ravens. Niners.
Well, the one seed was on the line.
But they lost the game by a ton, and they still got the one seed.
And it's so, because the Lions spit the bit. And, you know, if the Lions don't lose the next week, you probably don't get the one seed.
Actually, sure you do. You actually play the Rams. You put your people out there. You win the game, and you get the one seed.
Perhaps.
Yeah. Like,
but
they
it's a different calculus. So.
Sure. But you get what I'm saying. There was no, it's must win. You have to have this. No, you didn't. It wasn't that kind of a game. It was just sexy. So we've decided it's a huge moment. This one's a little bit different. It's sexy. Super Bowl rematch. I get that. You've argued very hard over the last week or so. Not a must-win game. Certainly a big game. Certainly a big game. Your math is starting to work against you a little bit. You got four losses already. But the season's not out of control by any stretch. You're a little game out, half game out of first place or whatever in the NFC West. No big deal. So a little bit of a moving target. But, like, what would you assess, what would you say are the top five or six games of Brock Purdy's career? Not his performances, but in terms of the size of the game.
Well, I mean, are we counting playoffs in there?
Sure, of course.
Super Bowl and NFC Championship. And NFC Championship where his arm fell off. And
he didn't really play in that one, so I don't know how to assess
that's
him.
That's big.
He didn't
throw
an incompletion.
The size of the game,
yeah,
that was a big game.
But he didn't play in it.
he played, and had he thrown the ball a second earlier, maybe he's able to get down and he doesn't get hurt. So that's a game he played in, and it's a game he lost, and it's unfortunate. We can have this debate.
I don't know why we're even going there. He didn't play. He went on one drive. He threw the ball.
He went 4-for-4. Yes, and then his arm fell off.
Right. So there's nothing to. I just don't know what there is to sink your teeth into on
there's
that.
There's not
that
much
day.
To sink your teeth in, other than your question was the biggest games he played, and he played that game. And he got knocked out.
Okay.
So that for me is one of the six.
Okay.
And last year you have the Green Bay game. That's one of them. And then beyond that, you could look at.
What about the other two playoff games?
Yeah, those count.
Okay.
Those are the biggest games.
And then what
He's
about
played six playoff games? So for me, I'm
going to go five. You can go six. And then what about the regular season? Biggest games.
Probably, I mean, the Baltimore game was big, and you know, you can say that they would have been the one seed anyway. The math would tell you that they weren't, unless Detroit then lost, because Detroit had the tiebreaker. So if Detroit would have won out, they would have been the one seed. So I felt like that game against Baltimore was actually pretty big at home, and the Christmas and all the eyes on Brock Purdy and all the rest of it. So I'd probably put that one up there.
And then what about last weekend?
Last weekend's further down the list for me.
Oh, what about your first start and Tom Brady's the other quarterback?
That's a big one. That for me was bigger than last week.
And then, okay, that's interesting. Because, I mean, that's at a spot where you almost have your built-in, I don't want to use the word excuse, I hate that word, but you have your built-in sort of reasoning behind that not looking perfect. It was his first NFL start.
Right.
Like, if you go back to that... No, I don't even know. Like, we didn't even have expectations of Brock.
We
were intrigued by what we had just seen him do against Miami when thrown into the game.
Right.
We were like, oh, that looked kind of cool. All right, let's see what he does. I mean, he's facing Tom Brady. This is going to be tough. And he went out there and they blew him off the field. So that's interesting. What about the two Thursday nights in Seattle?
Those are divisional games, so those are big.
Okay.
But I would put the Tampa Bay game above that, and I would put even last Sunday above those as well because of the optics and the emotion of, and you heard all the players talking about how big this game was, and you know we need to get right, and we need to show that we can beat them and all the rest of it. But I think that the Tampa game for me was bigger than that because he was out there to prove that he was a real quarterback in the NFL.
And he was fantastic in
fantastic.
That moment. Yeah, he was fantastic. Although, again, I sort of define it by, like, what's on the line for your team. And the game against Tampa Bay, you're coming at a time where...
You'd won five in a row.
Yeah, you'd already got the winning streak going, and the season had been righted. And so, I don't know. I do feel like the Thursday night following that Tampa game... felt more important to the team, but obviously they won them all, so that's great. But I think we would love to enter you into this conversation. Is that it, because you're sort of putting it as, well, what does he do against good defenses? I think that's only an extension of what we're talking about. That's an extension of this question. Is Brock Purdy in some way lesser at the Niners' biggest moments? I wonder if, and sometimes, you know what's really fun is to dive back into the actual numbers. We experience these games, and sometimes then you look at the numbers and you're like, oh, that's not really what I remember. Like, what do you remember, for example, year one, the 19-12 win over the Dallas Cowboys in the playoffs? What do you remember about his performance?
I remember that game being very tight and very, like, not sloppy, but defenses were winning the day on both sides of the ball.
Right.
That's what I remember.
Nobody got to 20 points, but, like, did you feel like Brock was shaky?
No, I felt like Dallas's defense was up to the task, and it felt to me like that was probably a field goal game. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but that one felt to me like it was back and forth, my kicker against your kicker, my red zone defense against your red zone defense. That one felt like a really tight affair.
He has played in, and if we'll go ahead and for fun, let's enter in the Philadelphia game, since you want it in there, and let's say he's had six playoff games. How many interceptions has he thrown total in the six playoff games?
Probably four.
Okay,
would be my guess.
Grandy, you got a guess, or you want to throw in a little guesser there? Six playoff games. How many interceptions has the young man thrown in the six playoff games combined?
Okay. I would have guessed four as well. Yeah, I'll go three.
Would you go three? Under four?
I'll go three.
You go under the four, fade the Dibber.
This is why I asked. This is going to knock you all over.
11?
One. He's thrown one? That's it.
That's it.
One. He's thrown one. And it's not even the game that you think he threw it in. You know what game he threw it in?
Which one?
Take another guess. What game do you think he threw the pick in?
The play where he tore his elbow up, that technically wasn't an interception.
That was a fumble. That was a fumble, correct. Yeah, so not an interception.
Yeah, we had to count those in his turnover ledger. Although he didn't play in that game, I'm being told. Well, so that fumble, that fumble doesn't count against him.
I just, like, we're talking about assessing a guy playing. Why would we do that when he's out there for 48 seconds?
Because he fumbled it. That play turned the game.
Great. All right. So
game over.
Terrible fumble. Well, I can't believe he dropped the ball when his arm was dislodged from his body.
I can't believe he didn't either tuck and dive or throw it away earlier. All right, that's all right. It's a learning experience.
What game do you think he threw it in?
No clue. I'd say probably the Detroit game.
Grandy, what game?
Because they were down by a bundle.
I'm trying to think. Was it
not the Super Bowl, right? Now that McCaffrey fumbled.
No, yep. I don't think it was the Super Bowl.
It hasn't played since.
Was it the Seahawks win his first playoff game?
Dibs, you got it right. It was the NFC title game last year.
Good job.
Thank you.
The Detroit Lions. He threw a pick. And let me admit something to you. I don't even remember it.
Yeah, I'd have to remember it.
What the hell pick did he throw against Detroit? I don't remember that.
Probably a tip ball.
What a fluky tip ball,
right?
Well, listen, however, that said, we can do this all kinds of different ways. His quarterback rating last year in the regular season was 113.
Wow.
His quarterback rating in the playoffs was 88.3. His completion percentage in the regular season, 69.4. His completion percentage in the playoffs was 61.1. Now, you can't explain that away. You can go, well, these are better teams. They're better defenses. They're bigger moments. It's a smaller sample. You can do all of that. But when you add in what I would say are at least the headline regular season games, were they the biggest? Maybe not. But the two most attention-getting regular season games in terms of buildup in his career, I think, Christmas night last year and last weekend. And obviously he threw seven picks combined in those two football games.
Right.
Both double-digit losses. And no touchdowns.
No touchdowns.
Some would say embarrassing performances. So I want to present this and simply say, here would be my answer. My answer would be, I don't think he shrinks in bigger moments, but I got one eyebrow up. I've got an eyebrow up for, and even if you want to phrase it the way you are, which is, man-to-man good defenses are thrown at you. Brock, what do you do? And of course there's context here. I do think that when you end up in the second half, last week, you're down. Kyle Shanahan's offense isn't great in that moment. And a couple guys who've never played football before are like your receivers. I'm going to give you a little nod of like, wow, that's tough. Not an excuse, but like, huh, that feels harder than what you usually do, right? That's what I would say. But yes, there is a little bit of a growing, if you want to call it pit in the stomach or whatever, of like, why when the moment gets huge, do we have a little bit less in terms of production? And I think that I'm very curious how the Niner fan base feels about that.
And I wonder what the next big moment is. Is it Sunday at home against Dallas? Because you've already said that Dallas is kind of a fly. It's a fly on your shoulder. They get flicked away. So I wonder what the next game is where you can actually look at this and say, well, this is another one of those games. Is it at Green Bay? Is it at Buffalo? Is there a game where you look at it and you go, wow, this is going to be another Brock Purdy show me game?
I'll answer that coming up next. You can answer that coming up next. 888-957-9570. Do you feel like Brock Purdy is a lesser being when the moment gets bigger? Valvoline Instant Oil Change is your 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit the friendly expert technicians at your local Valvoline Instant Oil Change to check fluids, tire pressure, windshield wipers, batteries, and more. Locations and coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com. Let's go. We'd love to hear from you. 888-957-9570 is the number. Steve Kerr is on the show today. That's at 5 o'clock. It's a whole lot of you until then on Willard and Dibs.
Will and Dibby.
On 95.7 The Game.
You can call me Neo.
You wouldn't
be the first.
Woo!
Damon Hack famously called me Neo.
Like the Matrix.
Correct. Because I went to the Masters in 2010, and all of a sudden I showed up in the media room to meet Damon Hack, Golf Channel anchor extraordinaire, and he said, how did you get in here?
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm like Neo in the Matrix.
Actually, this is one of the, is it fair to say one of the few things we have in common, or do we have a lot in common?
We have a lot in common.
We do?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
Multiple, we each have three kids.
Yes, we each have a bunch of problems.
We've been divorced, you know, we got a bunch of problems.
Yeah.
We're both in our 50s.
Okay. We're both white.
Yeah. You let me just get away with that.
Oh, well, it's close. It's close enough. Okay. I round up.
All right.
Yeah, I'm turning 50 in January.
Yeah.
I'm not bothered by the numbers.
You and I have
numbers
both.
Are numbers.
Every young people.
Thank you.
Numbers are numbers, and numbers are numbers, and that's going to be my number.
And we've both.
Yeah.
Numbers are numbers.
Thank
you. We've both been in the business since the 90s. 25 years. I think that you started right about 99, somewhere in there.
No. I was doing high school. Does high school play-by-play in college count?
Did you get paid?
I did.
Then you're in the business.
Okay. A commensurate amount, by the way. It's like $18 or something. I don't know.
I would make $61 doing play-by-play, and then I'd get $45 for writing the story in the Marin IJ. So I would rush down in my suit to interview some 16-year-old pimple-faced wide receiver. Oh, tell me about that catch in the second quarter.
You're like one for the thumb, am I right?
Dude, I'd make $106.
It's amazing.
For calling a game for 3 hours and then writing a story.
The measuring stick is not not what you got paid.
Totally.
The measuring stick is how you felt about it. So,
amazing.
Yeah. 1998, I get hired by the Boise Hawks Minor League Baseball Club. Sight unseen. I sent a cassette tape to somebody, and
he called.
He's like, this is good. Why is this, like, what are you doing? And I'm like, well, I've been doing whatever, right? So I get hired. And I've never been to Idaho before, and I throw everything in my life into a Ford Explorer that my parents had bought me, and I drove to Idaho to rent a pad.
Yeah,
which actually I'd already rented from a magazine. Like I
magazine,
I had rented an apartment from a magazine that someone sent me, and just drove to Idaho.
That can't be real.
This is true. No. This is a true story. And they're paying me to be the color analyst of the Boise Hawks, single A for the Anaheim Angels at the time. They're paying me $50 a game. And I'm like...
You get paid for extra innings too, or
well,
no?
I've got per diem also.
Yeah!
You get coaches per diem, you'd get an envelope when you got on the road, on the bus. And it was like, I think it was like $30 a day.
Not bad.
So if you were on a 5-game roadie, you got like $150. And I'm like, oh, that's going to last me 3 weeks. Like I knew how to spend like a college student.
Yep, top
like,
ramen.
Yeah, ramen, a little ice cream. We're good for tomorrow. But we played every day. There was 3 days off the whole summer.
Yeah.
So they're like $50 a day. What I heard was $1,500 a month. And rent is like $250.
Loving it.
In Idaho.
Yep.
So I'm like, cha-ching. I'm like, look at you. Your boy's making four digits.
Yeah.
Like, what?
It's a come up.
That's how it felt to me.
Yeah. Wow. The way it felt to me is I already had a wife and a kid.
Exactly.
Late bloomer. Your boy had like 7 jobs. Oh, boy. Yeah, I'll write for the IJ.
I'm angry, Jeff.
That's awesome. What, how old were you in 1998?
30.
Okay, see, I was, yeah. Like, 30. I was just a little thing.
Right, and I was still...
23 years old.
I was still a solid year away from graduating college. So, yeah, late bloomer.
Oh, God.
And that's, again, I don't want to get bogged down with my 5 junior years at Cal State Northridge, but what a 5. Oh, boy, those are the 5 best years of my life.
Number 5.
Dude. Entered as a junior, left as a junior.
Yeah. Dibs walked in to the university, right into the center of the place, and goes, that's a five.
Dude.
That's a five.
I woke up one day with a headache, and I was like, I'm almost 25. I got to get out of here. I'm going to Europe. And I did.
All right.
Anyhow, let's, with Scott Igoe.
Let's talk so to all it. Yeah. That. There it always it. Yep. goes back to the damn Igoe family.
Yeah.
It always does.
The bane of your existence.
Well, not really. I wasn't the one who got hit between the shoulder blades by Ben. It was my best friend. But it scared me for the rest of my life, and I've been putting my left foot in the bucket for the rest of my baseball career. Anyway. 888-957-9570. Yeah, let's talk it out. I get you. Look, you can do whatever you want with stats, and I see it. You know, for example, we got one person texting in, goes, he has 6 touchdowns against 1 pick in his playoff career. What are we talking about?
We're talking about 1 touchdown per game.
Sure. Now, the other way of looking at it is last year he played Lamar, and this year he played Pat, and he's got 0 touchdowns and 7 picks. Now, again, you can small sample anything.
Yep.
And this is what 2024 is all about. Grab the numbers that are numbers.
Yep.
Grab the numbers that you want, and then make a big old point about them. So I am not here to tell you that I think Brock is a shrinker. But I got an eyebrow up. I got an eyebrow up for how Shanahan and Purdy and the whole thing, the operation, how does it work when things are more difficult? And there are 2 things that make life more difficult. 1, you're going against a really good defense who has played you before. And the other thing that can make life really, really difficult is, oh, I snapped the ball and I looked to my right and there was a rookie who's never played before. So I looked to my left, and there was another rookie who's never played before. And then over the middle, there's a veteran. He's been here for 2 years. He's not very good at football, but he's out there. He's got a helmet and a uniform. That's now my receiving core. I signed up for Brandon, Debo, and Juwan. And I got Ricky. I got Ronnie. It's like Bell Biv DeVoe is running around out there in the secondary. So anyway.
I get that, but at the same time, you are still playing on offense with 2 Hall of Famers, Trent and George was amazing. And it's up to your coach, who everyone tells me is really good at offensive coordinating, and he knows who his personnel is, yet he's not going to coordinate to make it easier on Brock. And I will add this one piece before we go to the phones. The mistakes he made in this game had nothing to do with, I think, who he was throwing to. You can criticize Ronnie Bell for the route he ran, although Kyle Shanahan said he ran the right route.
They opted not to,
Purdy threw it 7 yards over his head. He threw an interception at the 5-yard line that all he has to do is not throw that, and you get a field goal because you have an actual kicker. So that was a minus 3 for sure, and that was a throw he didn't have to make. I don't even know who the intended receiver was.
I don't really.
And he doesn't know
either.
You
couldn't see him because
there were 5 Chiefs in front of him. So I just look
at... Yeah, no one's here to say Brock played well last week, and he obviously did not.
I don't think that this week had much to do with who he had to throw to.
Well, the whole Ronnie Bell route thing. Bad throw. They copped to it. They took accountability. That's fine, but that's kind of what I'm getting at with the chemistry of it. This is something that Baldy pointed to. Like, there's no connection between Brock Purdy and Ronnie Bell. And when there is, Ronnie drops it sometimes. So it doesn't mean that you're allowed to make bad throws. He made a very bad throw. There's no question about that. But to me, it's less about, the weapons are out, you can't play. It's, no, the specific guys who are playing have literally no experience. Brock does not have reps with him. There's no vibe. It's almost as if training camp didn't exist. I'll give you an example, and I know this is the Rams, and their defense stinks, but look what happens when Debo and Christian and George are out, but Juwan Jennings is there. And there's a chemistry there because they've been working together for a couple years. Wow. Pow. 179 yards. 3 touchdowns. That's a piece of this puzzle to me.
That was against the Rams, right?
Yes. That's what I said. Bad defense. Yeah. Granted. So it's a different challenge. But my point is, I do think we have to at least tuck into this that the Niners are not just injured, but we have reached a spot in this moment where the replacements have essentially not played football with Brock Purdy ever. And that's a problem. That's very, very hard to do.
Yes, but you still have Kyle Juszczyk, yeah, who he's played with, and you've got Jordan Mace. Yes, but you used him, and he had one of the bigger pass plays of the second half, and he actually had a huge running play in the first half. And yet, if you look at his snap counts, he played less than half the snaps. So if you're really looking at, like, relying on people who you know, that's a guy you know Kittle, Jordan Mason, who wasn't hurt, he played the entirety of the game, you could use him, you could use Garendo, you could throw it to either Garendo or Mason, but you didn't, so this for me is more of a Shanahan issue. If you're going to talk about who you didn't have, and you don't want to throw to Pearsall or Cowing, although Cowing had a big play as well, and Ronnie Bell almost scored a touchdown on a great catch, so I'm not seeing this as a legitimate excuse when you've got paid professionals on the field.
None of it is supposed to be an excuse. I don't even like the word. It gets overused when we're all talking about this stuff. We're talking about football. And so could you say Kyle should have been more creative? Sure. However, a defense is going to change when they're like, Brandon's not out here, Debo's not out here, Juwan's not out here. We can cheat a little bit more toward George or toward Jordan, which they did. They cheated toward the run game. Because they're like, look at this bucket of junk that's out here in the passing game. Let's cheat. Let's stop the run. And they did. And so everything has, there's a chain reaction.
But you drove down to the five and you had a chance to cut the game one or two.
I'm not discounting what you're saying at all. I'm just like, again,
I just don't think that the personnel had much to do with the fact that they lost the game. I look at a team that still was able to move the ball until they got close and then Brock threw a terrible pick.
I don't think it had to do with why they lost this game. And the point I'm just making is it changes the way I'm going to watch the Niners. It changes the expectations I have, and I think that that's fair. That's fair for any quarterback. Like, again, Baker Mayfield is going to be a lesser entity next week. No Godwin, no Evans.
Josh Allen's been able to make it work without anybody all year.
That's not anybody. That's a healthy group that's been with him from the start of camp. They're young. It's a new group, but he's been with them the whole camp. He's been with him the whole camp.
Brock's been with Cowing, and he's been, Pearsall hasn't
really
been there.
Not getting any reps. Those are Josh's starters.
Ronnie Bell's been getting reps.
Not really. Not in practice. Not with Brock. He gets him with Josh Dobbs.
I would imagine he gets him with Brock when, Debo's out, and, he missed a game, so he missed practice, and Brandon Ayuk is...
That was 1 week.
Brandon Ayuk early in practices, I'm sure, wasn't getting full first-team reps.
Again,
Chris Conley's a five-year vet, so...
Josh Allen, you don't have to like Josh Allen's receiving core, but that's his receiving core. Like, that, those are his guys. That's the first team. Keon Coleman and Khalil Shakir, and now it changes up with Cooper. But anyway, let's go to Austin in San Jose. Austin, thank you for calling. You're on Willard and Dibs. What's up?
Hey, fellas. Good conversation. I love it because I got a perspective which is not a Niner fan. I always like to interject. So the first question is for me, what's the expectation that Niner fans have of Brock Purdy? I mean, listen, I'm not the biggest Brock Purdy fan, I'll admit it, but I have to admit the guy is a good quarterback. Now, the question is, do you think he's special? And I've said for the game, I don't think Brock is special. I think that the Niner fans have elevated to him. I've heard things that lead, people are throwing around terms. Why can't Niner fans accept the fact that the guy wins games, he seems to be a really good quarterback, but in terms of being elite, no. He may not need to be elite, though, to get into the Super Bowl. But I get the feeling that Niner fans are almost like obsessed with everybody in the league saying that Brock Purdy is great. And I guess we need to – I think they need to pump the brakes on that. Number two, there's no excuses, Willard. I mean, whether he's playing with the first team, second team, if you're the guy that says you're going to give him $50 million, I mean, if you're going to give this guy $50 million, there are no excuses. Ask Tom Brady. He'll tell you, there's no excuses. So I think we need to just figure out, what are you expecting Brock? What do you think Brock really is? And the last thing, I'm a D.C. fan, so I remember when Kirk Cousins and RG3 were in D.C. I think it's a good comparison because I remember some executive said, hey, Kirk Cousins is a really good quarterback, but he's not special. And so I think we have to figure out, is Brock just a good quarterback?
Austin, can you define that? Austin, define that, because you used it twice. What, like, define special? What does that mean?
Duke can win you a game when he doesn't have everything lined up, right? Can he make a special throw at a time when maybe, you know, you question whether he can even make that throw?
So who's special? Who is, like, well, give us your list. Who's special in the NFL?
Lamar Jackson is special.
Sure, of course.
I think the guy in LA is special. He can make special throws.
That's interesting.
My guy in DC is developing, only six games, but I think James is going to be special, right? I think Aaron Rodgers is special, even at his advanced age. He can make throws that a lot of guys can't make. And he can make plays. Russell Wilson, once upon a time, was a special guy. I know that everybody rags on Russell, but remember, Russell used to own the Niners, and he won a lot of games being special.
Yeah, he used to be.
That's what I call special.
Okay.
That's what I said, but let's not condemn him now because he's older. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, understood. Austin, thanks. Appreciate it. How do you answer that? Brock Purdy special?
Not yet. He has the chance to be special, and so far he's been pretty damn good. 4-2 in the playoffs. I mean, for me, special is reserved for very few. I wouldn't say that Josh Allen yet is special. I would say Lamar Jackson is special.
Well,
the guy who wins the MVP. Yeah. He's unique, and he's special. The only thing he hasn't done is win in January and February, but he is special. And you look at the talent that he has around him, you've got a couple of good tight ends, one really good and one emerging who's now in the back seat. And Zay Flowers is a good receiver, and Derrick Henry's really elevated
phenomenal.
That offense.
Yeah.
But that offense, looking at last night, that thing looks almost unstoppable. When you've got that running back, that quarterback who can make plays in and out of the pocket, a great tight end, and one very good wide receiver. So yeah, I would say he's special. Mahomes goes without saying. And then who else is special? Well, CJ's emerging. Jaden Daniels, small sample size.
Yeah, he's played six games.
Right, so we can go through the rest of the list. Like Josh Allen's probably the next one that I would say is actually special because he can do things on his own to elevate his team.
Well, that's it. When we bring up words like that, everybody's going to have a different definition. I can sit here and launch the conversation that we're having about Brock Purdy, curiosity in terms of is he a little bit lesser when the game gets bigger, but my answer would resoundingly be yes, he's special. But my list is way bigger than yours. I think Joe Burrow is special. I think that Josh Allen is special. I think Patrick Mahomes is special. I think Lamar Jackson is special. I think CJ Stroud is special. We can go through the list, and it's probably bigger than that. To be somebody who can truly be a franchise quarterback and consistently win at the NFL level, to me, that's special. I mean, I don't even think you're crazy. I'd have to dive a little deeper, but if you wanted to start saying people like Jared Goff or Kirk Cousins, he brought up Matt Stafford. Sure, Jaden is a little bit too young, but do the Miami Dolphins right now, do they look like Tua was special?
Not really.
They do to me because can't even move. They can't get a first down without him. And with him, they were a playoff team.
And who's their backup, though? So that I think that's fair to say. If the Niners would have lost Purdy last year and they had Sam Darnold, the drop-off would not have been as dramatic as what Miami's drop-off's been.
Probably not, but we don't know how it would have looked. He played one game and he lost to a bad team with a backup QB.
With a backup entire offense.
For sure.
We can look at that however we want to look at it. But Sam Darnold has shown this year that he's better than...
But that's there.
Right.
So I don't know how he
same
would have
system,
here.
And you never know. And we can play this game.
That team is healthy and has a defense that's humming right now.
I look at Brock Purdy last year and his three of his losses were to the number 1, 3, and 5 ranked defenses in football. Cleveland, Baltimore, and Kansas City. In yards per play allowed, those three were in the top 5, and that was loss, loss, loss. So for me, the bigger question is what you started the show with. Not that does he shrink in the moment, but if he is really special, then he's going to be able to beat these teams with these really good defenses in these moments.
Well, and again, to I guess almost the point you made a little while, he has some. Dallas was a very, very high-level defense when they came in here in the playoffs 2 seasons ago.
Yep,
he beat
absolutely.
Him. He beat him. He didn't score a ton of points, but he beat him.
Philly was number 1 defensively in that same playoff, and it went the way it went.
Yep.
And it went that way because he got hurt, but you know, Philly was the number one defense in yards per play, and that is a game that they didn't win.
Let's go to George in Pittsburgh. Hi, George. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
Yep, sure can.
All right. So, it's funny. You guys are talking about the different quarterbacks, and of course, poor Brock Purdy. My argument, and I am a fan, by the way, my argument is that he's kind of getting it from above and below. He's kind of in he's getting pinched. If you dropped Mahomes in San Francisco right now with the same rapport with these receivers facing Spagnuolo's defense, how would he do? Do you think he would be dramatically different or the same? That's number one.
Hmm.
Number two, how do we get our buddy Shanahan to get to the next phase? Shout out to the Isley brothers. And, you know, kind of move on, because everybody seems to be at, well, all the good defenses seem to know what he's going to do before he does it. I don't even think Kansas City changed their defensive card from last year facing the Niners this weekend. You know,
well,
and so maybe the answer is that his papa. Maybe his papa could convince him to maybe do something more than just what he's already doing.
Well, what do you think?
Get rid of Shanahan.
What do you think his papa would do? Because I would argue that, like, everything Kyle does is kind of off of his papa's tree to a degree. No,
right? Yeah, yes, but I think he listens to him, and I don't think he listens to a lot of other people. I don't know. My guess. I just wonder if maybe his papa's seeing all this and going, "Hey, maybe we should think about doing something more."
And thanks, George. Yeah, yeah. I'm under
I
the impression
what more is.
I'm under the impression they do talk.
Right.
I mean, Mike's pretty. He's still pretty sharp
and very connected with Kyle.
Very much so.
And it looks to me like Kyle does a lot of what Mike used to do and what Mike would want to do. And I just don't know what more he can do. And I'm looking at the Sunday game where they open up and the second play, there's a hold on Brendel. So now it's second and 21. We've talked about this. Forget it. That's a punt. The second possession, he throws a pick on the first pass.
Mm-hmm.
When you're at the Kansas City 45 and you take a shot and he throws a terrible pick. And then your third possession, you go three and out and you punt again. So is that a Shanahan play calling issue where the third possession, they pass it for eight, second and two, they run it, and then they run it again, get stuffed.
But do Kansas City's first three drives during the exact same time.
Yeah, they got to the 45, fake punt, didn't work.
Yep.
They got...
threw a pick.
Well, they got to the 24.
Right.
And then threw a pick on... and that was a great Kalia Davis bat and catch, which, you know, Kansas City was humming, and then Kalia Davis made a great individual play, and then the next possession was a three and out that included a Leonard Floyd sack.
Yeah, so like we go, oh, the Niner offense didn't move. They scored first. The Chiefs didn't move either.
Right.
Like it was 0-0. It was 0-0. So 888-957-9570. We'll keep going with this conversation because there's a lot more to be said on it. I do have some trade deadline ideas for the 49ers, and we would definitely like to get to that coming up within the next hour as well. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Willard and Dick.